Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the JV Queen and Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great episode lined up for you today. Hopefully my co-host and friend Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, shows up here in a few minutes. But we also have a great guest lined up for today. Do I have you unmuted, Lori?
I am online. If you can hear me, then I'm unmuted.
I do have you unmuted.
Excellent.
Our guest today is Lori Falk from wisdomoftheangels.com. I have really been looking forward to having Lori with us today. Lori has an amazing story about discovering and living her life's purpose. Lori didn't begin her life as an artist by trade, but when she discovered her life purpose, everything changed. And today, Lori's going to be sharing some of that with us. Lori, I'm going to let you really tell your story yourself because I just can't do it justice on my own.
Oh, thank you so much, Gina. It's such an honor to be on your show today. And I have to thank Chief Robert and Terry Lynn Talltree because they are mutual friends of ours and have connected us and brought us to this point in time. And I was just listening to a show that you did with them this morning, and it's so inspirational. I've got post-it notes all over my kitchen now.
They've been on the show a couple of times, and every time they're on, my goodness, what an amazing show we have.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they are such a part of my journey. I would say it was right around 9/11 that things really shifted dramatically in my life. And it had happened after I had gone through a dark night of the soul and was asking God to show me what I was here for. I just, you know, I knew that the path I had been on, I was in the fashion industry and had a trade publication for executives in the industry. And while it was internationally successful, I was so miserable and so unhappy because I just knew hemlines go up and hemlines go down and nobody dies from it and it really doesn't matter. And I just knew if I had to write another story about fashion, I might die. And that's when I had tumbled into this dark night of the soul and came out on the other side of it, really getting in touch with the fact that who I am and what I'm about is about helping people on the inside, not on the outside. And while certainly as a writer and author of a trade publication, I was helping people run businesses, so it wasn't just about clothing and all of that. But it still wasn't deep enough. There wasn't enough relationship to it for me.
Oh, and see, that sounds a lot like my own story. Very similar. I was making a lot of people a lot of money as a JV broker, but I kept looking at it going, what the heck? It makes a lot of people a lot of money, but it doesn't change anybody's life. So what? They made a lot of money. Whoop-de-doo.
Right. Because as we so often know, people get to that point where they have a lot of money, you know, and it doesn't make any difference to them. When we think about Thomas Kincaid, as an artist, you know, I'm really touched by the fact of Thomas passing just recently, 54 years old, and they're not sure what the cause of death was, but they think that it's related to his alcoholism. The man was making $32 million a quarter.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
One out of 20 homes in this country have a Thomas Kincaid painting in them. I mean, he's one of the most prolific artists of our time as far as the exposure. And, I mean, he was a household name for the most part.
Right.
And so you look at that amount of success and how much money he made, and obviously there was so much else missing in his life. And my goodness, you know, what if a life coach or someone like yourself could have come along and helped him to really get in touch with his soul a little bit more? So, so yes, I want to tell people. Go ahead.
That is huge. I mean, everybody knows who Thomas Kincaid is, and his pictures can really bring tears to your eyes. They're so moving. But clearly, it wasn't enough to really touch his own life. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was only 54. I knew he had passed, but I didn't know he was so young.
I didn't know it either, and I have to tell you that it's moments like that when you hear things like that, that for me, it's such a motivating factor because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, anything could happen at any times in our lives. And so it's so important to grab the moment and just, you know, really understand that. I think I just wrote a quote down here. It said, the point of power is in the present moment. And that is absolutely true. So what are we going to do with this present moment and this present day? And so when I tie that back to my story, I just said, God, show me what I'm here for, because clearly there's a lot that needs to be done. And the moment that I really opened up to you know, knowing my purpose and praying about it, it was kind of laid in my lap. Everything and anything spiritual just started showing up, and mentors and shamans and spiritual teachers left and right, and eventually I was divinely guided to become a spiritual life coach. And so I went through the School of Spiritual Psychology here in the Milwaukee area, and I took a wonderful online spiritual life certification program with Sharon Wilson. And really, I think I was halfway through all of that when I had paid clients wanting me to work with them before I was certified, before I graduated. And so I thought, oh my God, I have so found my life purpose and my passion and my reason for being. How amazing is this, right?
Right.
And then I met Robert. And I was hosting him in the Milwaukee area, co-hosting him with another gal. And we had a Friday night event. It was Labor Day weekend of 2004. I'll never forget this. And good Lord in heaven, he decided to change the format of his evening event. And instead of doing what he was going to do, he decided he'd do readings for everybody there. And I thought, well, that's lovely, as long as he doesn't do one for me. And Gina, I have no conscious, like, I can't tell you consciously why I didn't want one, but I sure didn't. And that's not, I mean, I love getting readings, and we pay lots of money sometimes for these things. And here he was going to do it for free, and So I, you know, being the host, I'm moving around the room throughout the night, and it's like 11:45, and he's still going. And he was finished with everyone, and he looked at me and said, are you going to sit down? And I said, excuse me? And he said, do you think I didn't notice that you've been walking around the room trying to avoid me all night? You know, you can't get anything past Robert.
No, you really can't.
No. And he said, so I suggest you sit down. And, of course, at that point I just did because I realized I was busted. And he looked at me and he said, so tell me, Lori, what is it that you do? And I said, well, I have the best job in the world. And he said, really? What is that? And I said, well, I'm a spiritual life coach. And he said, well, what makes that the best job in the world? And I said, oh, Robert, I get to help people find their joy. What could be better than that? And he looked at me straight in the eyes in front of this whole room full of people and said, what about yours? And I said, but I just told you that makes me happy. And he said, really? I disagree. Well, Gina, where do you go with that? You think that what you do is making you happy. You think you finally found your life purpose. And there's this amazing shaman in his full regalia with the whole headdress and everything looking at you going, uh-uh, wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
And we just stared at each other, and he said, normally this is where I'd back down. I'm not going to. And spirit was working so strongly through him. They wanted me to get this. And but I got to tell you, he didn't tell me what it was that I was here to do. He only told me that I wasn't doing what I was here to do.
Wow.
So I left there so perplexed and so frustrated. And in the ensuing months, I kept getting messages to draw. And that made absolutely no sense to me because I wasn't an artist. I never thought about being an artist. So my question was, draw what? This makes no sense. You know, tell me what I'm supposed to teach. Tell me how I'm supposed to market myself. But don't tell me to draw, for heaven's sake. Until finally, after months and months, now I said Labor Day, that happened. Now it's January. Well, you live in Bonita Springs, Florida, so you probably wouldn't know what winter in Wisconsin is like.
I'm from Arlington Heights, Illinois. I know winter in Wisconsin, and that's why I'm in Bonita Springs, Florida.
Yes, one of my dearest friends has a home down there, so I know it's quite lovely. But anyway, it's Wisconsin, it's January, we haven't seen the sun in 3 weeks, and it's 20 below zero.
And probably tons of snow on the ground, too.
Oh, yeah, feet, many feet of snow. And of course, nothing I was trying at that moment to market myself was working. So I just kind of threw my hands up in the air and said, okay, God, you want me to draw? Fine, let's draw. But this better mean something, because this is me telling spirit. I'm a type A Capricorn. It's the middle of the business week, and, you know, this is kind of silly to me. So I'm giving you an hour, but let's make it important. So I sat down thinking I would, you know, ask a question. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you what this picture is all about. And somehow whatever the answer is going to have to do with this whatever it is we're going to draw. I still was trying to take charge. Can't tell that I'm a take charge kind of person, can you?
Oh, too funny.
It is. Anyway, so finally I sat down, and the next thing I heard from Spirit was, put your pen down. You're not going to write a channeled message. You're going to draw. And they said, get out your pastel chalks that you play with your nieces and some paper. And then the magic began. Because I had to get out of my head. I had no idea how to do this. So I had to get out of my head. I had to give up control, and I had to listen. And it was in that giving up of the control that the magic began. And I literally was guided to create a piece of artwork. They tell me what colors to use, what to put on the page, where to put it. And it was all guided by the angels, totally guided. And when it was done, I fell in love with it, which also was kind of strange because I'm very self-critical and had been in the fashion industry, so I have a very fine eye for line and design and color. So the fact that I liked it, I knew something so beyond myself was happening. That it just
what an incredible story.
Yeah, that's how it started. And, of course, they didn't tell me at the time that I was doing angelic message portraits or that I was going to, you know, compile a book of these and that it would be, you know, published and that I'd have art in 20 countries around the world. They told me none of that. They just told me to draw. So here we are, 7 years later, and it's been a magical, magical journey.
So today, how does your art play into your life and your business?
Well, it really is my business. Even my coaching business revolves around the art, because what I'm finding more and more is, you know, I sit down with a client and I can do a general intake and they can tell me where they're at and where they want to be at, because that's what coaching is all about. I'm here, but this is where I want to be. How do I get there? Well, I could then sit down and lay out a whole plan of action, which I've done time and time again for clients, but becomes most meaningful and the most divinely guided is when we take it to the level of the art at that point, and we create an angelic message portrait, and we ask spirit, what does this person need to know now? so that they can make the changes and the shifts and the transitions that will lead them to where they want to be. And that's when the magic happens. And rarely do I ever do a portrait where the client isn't brought to tears of joy for the knowledge and the wisdom that comes through at that level. You know, we're moving into a higher level of consciousness from where the problem was created, and that's really the only way to solve things. So now we've got a blueprint. After that portrait is done and we've gained the wisdom of the angels, now we've got a blueprint to go forward with the coaching program.
So how beautiful. I bet you didn't even realize that Sharon Wilson is actually a former client of mine.
Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't. No,
Sharon Wilson worked with me for almost 2 years, and I really helped her with the whole coaching from spirit business and the model that she's using today in growing her own business.
Oh, well, of course. Oh, what
incredible. What a small world, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. So that's kind of how it ties into the coaching, and my goal is to get this out to the world in a greater and grander way and to let the art evolve into new modalities, and I have visions of all kinds of things that I want to create and just need to go spend some time in the studio and let that happen.
Oh, that's awesome. So for our listeners, I'm sure that they would love to see some of your artwork, which they can find at wisdomoftheangels.com, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit more about how relationships play into your world.
Well, you know, it's interesting when we talk about relationships, because the first thing that comes to mind is our relationships with people. And I was thinking about all of this morning and realizing that it's, yes, our relationships with people are essentially important, but it's also our relationship with spirit, with our high self, with God, with the angels, and it's all of those relationships that really come into play when we're creating anything in our lives. And I was listening to your miracle show this morning and realizing the mindset, how important the mindset is, right? It helped you to overcome everything that you were going through. I can't believe how many surgeries you had, honey. Oh, my Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And all that Terry went through, and how often it takes us to get to that dark place before we realize how powerful our mind is. And when we control our thoughts and we can control our mind, and when we send that information out to, whether it's the universe, whether it's God, whether it's the angels, it's whatever it is for each individual, but we are co-creating our own realities. And so I think the relationship with self and spirit comes before any of the other relationships.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Lori, and it is so true.
Absolutely.
And it usually takes something major, like your story, like my illness, until you really get to that point where you really just don't have any place else to go and you don't know what to do. You don't often get in touch with that relationship with spirit.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, and I just want to share with your readers that, you know, you had yours was from an accident, and Terry had the paralysis. For me, it was clinical depression, and you know that's a physiological ailment as well. But I share this with your listeners for this reason. Clinical depression. Now think about this. We're talking about creating our own realities, and we're talking about doing it from a positive place.
Right.
So clinical depression is a true handicap to that very thought process.
Oh, absolutely. And it is as much physical as my infection was. It
exactly.
Is physical.
Right, because you don't have the neurotransmitters and the brain chemistry balanced to the point where you can think positively. And I remember sitting in my therapist's office one day and looking at her and saying, and I hadn't studied any of this, so it was obviously my remembering it from, you know, other lifetimes or from before I was born. But I knew that we were creating our own realities. And I just looked at my therapist and I said, how can I create a good reality if I'm depressed?
Mm-hmm.
So it really forced me to somehow manage to take control of whatever good thoughts I had and make sure that they were absolutely positive. And as I started studying it more, I understood that one positive thought could outweigh 100 negative thoughts. So the good can so outweigh the positive. So I think it was the sheer determination that I had that I will overcome this and I will get to that place of positivity and I will send out a message of joy to the universe so that I can turn this all around. And so when I talk about relationship with self, I mean, I really have been there to that core level. And, you know, just like you, there were moments of total despair and wondering how I'd survive. I think I lost my business, I lost my house, I lost my car, I lost my life savings by that point. I think it was down to $20. So it was like, you know, where the pedal meets the road. I mean, that's it. What are you going to do? You've got to do something, right?
Wow, and, yeah.
So I wish I could get your listeners to hear all of our stories and say, don't wait till it gets to that point. Listen to us. This stuff works. Just do it.
Exactly.
And get that relationship with yourself right first.
You know, I wish it was as easy as we make it sound, right?
It's
got to come from within. You've got to want it at a higher level.
Absolutely. And you've got to believe it.
Yes. That's the key. That is the key. I mean, I had other people in my life that had told me about the power of the mind. I didn't believe it enough to actually do anything with it, and so I was still dying. I don't know what made me listen to the wisdom of this massage therapist in a different way, in a way that I really believed that time, but something about it really seemed different enough that I could believe it that time. And the more research I did, the more I truly believed with all my being that I really could do what everyone was telling me I could do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was also right after you had gotten just about the worst news possible, right?
Yep. Yep.
To have
what made you believe
tests?
It?
What made me believe it? It was coming at me from so many directions.
Mm.
People were handing me material. Someone handed me Wayne Dyer's Manifesting Your Dreams. And simultaneously, a different shaman that I was working with, Jojo Pa Maria, said to me, you've got to stop everything and pray and meditate and visualize. Stop trying to find jobs. Stop sending out resumes. Stop trying to find clients. Just stop and get quiet and get centered and turn it over. And it seemed like everywhere I looked. And I remember specifically going to, it was a bonfire, a manifestation bonfire. And it was right around Halloween. And I remember they said, okay, this is what we're going to do in 2 weeks for women's group. We're having this manifestation bonfire, and everybody should come with one thing they want to manifest. And I walked around for 2 weeks, Gina, and all I could think of was, one thing? Are they kidding me? I need a new life.
Oh, that's too funny.
And so as someone handed me Wayne Dyer's Manifesting Your Life or Your Dreams, I can't remember the exact title, and I listened to it, I got in touch with a very important truth. And that truth is this, that you need to get in touch with how you want to feel. It's less about what you want and more about how you're going to feel when you get there. And at that moment, it was like a light bulb went off. And I said, well, hello, 5 years of severe clinical depression, I think I want to feel joy.
That would be a good idea.
And yet I couldn't remember what that felt like. I couldn't. But so for like 2 minutes a day, I would try to remember. Just try to remember what that might feel like, you know, and I'm sure I had to go up the emotional scale, as Abraham would say, and try, you know, I'm sure the first day it didn't happen, but eventually I got back to it, and I went to this manifestation circle, and everybody's like wanting to manifest a new car, or they want to manifest something for their kids, or whatever, and they got to me, and they said, and what do you want to manifest, Lori? And I said, joy, and they just dead silence. And yet, so I put that out there in the manifestation group, and then I was doing Wayne's process of sending this message of joy out to the universe with saying the syllable, ah, because that's the sound of creation, and it gets creation's attention, so I'm putting out a joyful message with the word ah, and, you know, and visualizing every day, and within 4 months, I had attracted $60,000 worth of stuff. Everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, everything from Social Security disability income to someone bought me a brand new $25,000 car to being enrolled in the School of Spiritual Psychology when I didn't have the means to pay even a penny back at that moment. I mean, it was just like anything and everything that could turn my life around showed up.
Holy cow.
Yes. I mean, I even sold my house that was in foreclosure, sold it, and pulled it out of foreclosure at the last minute. It was just like, snap your fingers. As fast as you could snap your fingers, stuff was happening.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so we talk about relationships. It was all about the people that showed up, whether it was the minister at the New Thought Church I was going to or my significant other at the time who happened to have studied mystical Christianity for his whole adult life, to the shamans that were showing up in my life, to Jim Morningstar at the School of Spiritual Psychology. It was my relationships with all those people that put Humpty Dumpty back together again, so to speak.
Oh,
I could never have done it alone. Yeah.
And, you know, what I really want our listeners to hear today is it wasn't something unique that you did that they can't do. Anybody can do this, can't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've done it. Terry's done it. I've done it. Hundreds of thousands of other people have done it. It's just understanding that we live in a magical universe and that most of that magic lies in the unseen. And it's really harnessing the power of our thoughts, of our emotions, and when I talk to my clients, I tell them every thought is a prayer. Every thought that you have is a prayer that goes out to God in the universe. But every emotion that you have is an even stronger prayer. So the real point of necessity for people when they're trying to apply this in their lives is to understand that controlling their thoughts and controlling their emotions makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're not taught that as children. They're taught what they should do in a third dimensional way to be successful, but nobody's talking about what we're sending out in our thoughts and our emotions. And what are the messages we're giving to the world about what we really want? And my friends who understand these things, who have children, are, of course, teaching it to their children. And I listen to these little wise souls, and they're just amazing. And I can't wait to watch how their lives are going to be so much different than ours, because they learned that at such a young age.
That's going to be really nifty to watch. You know,
absolutely.
In my own instance, this massage therapist that had really made such a profound impact on my life, she was suggesting that it wasn't that I was doing the wrong things, it was the way that I was doing them wasn't as effective as it could be. I knew about the power of visualization, and when she asked me, are you doing visualization? I said, yes, and she said, describe your visualization. So I told her, I picture myself as I am, sick, dying in a wheelchair, hooked up to a bunch of tubes. I see myself getting out of this wheelchair, being happy, being healthy, my tubes fall off, I look good, I'm dancing, and she starts shaking her head. That's never going to work. Well, what I didn't realize was that the way I was doing these visualizations, I'm starting with a negative place. I'm sick, I'm dying, I'm in a wheelchair in the visualization. You can't start with a negative place and get a positive result. I never realized that before, never really thought about it, but just never paid any conscious attention to it at all. So what she really suggested was that if I could find a way to start with a positive place, it could have a much more positive impact. So what she had me do was pretty darn simple. She said, imagine that at every time in your life that something happened, it was almost as if you went through a crossroads. One part of you went through that event, impacted in a negative way from it, but immediately prior to that event, one part of you went outside and went around the event, never experienced the event. If I could work my way back in time through all of these events that brought me to the place that I was at, this sick, dying person, and could look at what life could have been like for that part of me that never experienced any of that, I could then make some choices. I could choose to shift this consciousness into that reality or that consciousness into this reality and wouldn't have to deal with all the negative stuff that brought me to where I was at. That was so huge for me, and it really didn't involve doing something different. I was still doing visualizations. I was just doing them in a different way. And that really became the key to what I call my miraculous transformation. Did you have to do something different to experience what you've experienced?
Well, for me, it was I had been starting, as I said, from that point of severe depression. So when I did the visualization, when I realized that what I wanted to manifest was joy, I never even thought to start from where I was. I just thought of the end result. If I want I started with the end result in mind. And that's one of the things that Mike Dooley, who's one of the top motivational coaches around, says, is always to think about the end result as if it had occurred. And how are you going to feel when you're in that space? So I never thought of how to get there because I had lost so much that I had absolutely no idea how to put it all back together.
That makes sense.
So I just went right to the end result. I want to feel joy. Well, I don't know what it's going to take. And I remember consciously saying that. I have absolutely no idea how to get from where I am to joy. No clue. So I'm just going to imagine being there. And that's when Spirit decided what would need to show up, that I need to get through this, into the School of Spiritual Psychology, that I need to get into Sharon's coaching program. And Sharon let me skip half the program because my not skip, but kind of like test out of it because of it was so parallel to what I was doing at the School of Spiritual Psychology. So, I mean, miracles just kept happening everywhere I looked.
Wow.
Including to when we get fast forward into the art portion of this. And one thing I guess I would say to your listeners, if they're struggling with manifesting and visualization and all that, is to know that you need help. You couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it alone. We all needed our teachers, our mentors, our coaches. And this art helps people as well because the art literally contains this wisdom this is the art that I create is not just a pretty picture. Yes, they're beautiful. Yes, they're angelic. Yes, they're all of that. But when you stand in front of one of these pieces and you look at it, it will move you emotionally. As it's moving you emotionally, the wisdom that's encoded into the artwork is now accessible to your physical being through your emotional field. So you have that wisdom in your field. You have access to it bypassing the cognitive mind.
That's huge.
It is. It's a little bit to wrap your brain around. But, you know, sometimes we want to try to, I know, type A Capricorn, I always want to be able to figure it all out.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's our little pea brains that created these problems for us. So maybe we should set those little pea brains aside and let spirit and its infinite wisdom come in and help us resolve it. You know, for me, I learned the true strength of this art when I went to my therapist one day and I said, you know, this sexual abuse that I went through at a young age, this has messed up my whole life. It's just, like, not okay. And I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. I need to be immediately healed. That's it. Enough therapy, enough talking. I need healing. And she said, go home and do one of your portraits. And I'm thinking, seriously, I just paid you to tell me to go home and do my own therapy. Okay. But I respected her enough, I went home and I did a portrait, and I created the abuse healing angel. And oh my God, I cried through the whole thing. When it was done, I tried to put it in, hang it in my bedroom. I couldn't sleep. I tried to put it in the living room. I was so agitated, I couldn't stand it, because it was so working with me.
Oh,
I literally,
wow.
I hung it in my foyer. And that was as close as I could get to it. Well, off of my foyer is my office where I work with my coaching clients. Well, I had two coaching clients walk in during the 6 weeks that it was hanging there who had been sexually abused as young girls. They stood in front of that portrait and started sobbing.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had no idea what it was for. They had just, and then they felt bad because they were crying, and they're like, no, it's really, it's pretty. I don't like your work. And I'm thinking to myself, what a gift you have given me.
Wow.
Yes. And eventually I could move it into the living room, and eventually I could move it into the bedroom, and, you know, it healed me. It literally healed me to the point that I could understand abuse through the eyes of the perpetrator, and to understand that they were as much of a victim in the process as the victim themselves.
Oh, my goodness. That's huge.
Yeah. It is. It is absolutely huge. And it also, that strengthened my understanding of the work, my belief in this work. And then I created the Childhood Protection Angel to stop the abuse of children. And it's a little disconcerting to me sometimes when I see the number of children that are drawn to that angel. And I always tell their parents, please read the message, because I want them to understand that if their child's been attracted to this picture, that there may be something going on that they aren't aware of.
Oh, wow.
So, and that has led us to our Angels with a Cause program. And through this Angels with a Cause program, we want to take, like, say, the Childhood Protection Angel. And this is perfect because it's April, and April is Abuse Awareness Month. And so what we want to do is take the product sales of all, like, say, the Angel of Childhood Protection, and donate a percentage of the proceeds to charities that fund these causes.
So, what a great thing to do. And for our listeners, you'll find all of this on wisdomoftheangels.com. If you look down the left-hand sidebar, you'll see Angels with a Cause right there. That's awesome.
Yes. And when people are on the site, what I would tell them is this. I would say, browse through the pictures, and, you know, just see which one you're called to. And invariably, once whatever you're called to, will have the message will have such meaning in your life. And if you click on the portrait, you'll get to the message, and that message will just hit home in the most magical way.
These angels are just so moving. I mean, they're mesmerizing if you just look at the site and watch the pictures as they scroll. They really do mesmerize you.
Well, thank you, Gina. It is, it's been a magical journey the last 7 years, that's for certain.
And so in your business today, you do these angel portraits for people. You also do spiritual life coaching. Is there anything else that you do in your business today?
I hold angel circles a couple of times a month in a number of locations, and we're doing those via Skype as well so that people who are out of the area can enjoy it as well. I also teach a variety of classes, everything from manifesting the life of your dreams to celestial communication, how to actually have a two-way conversation with your angels, how to learn it. Like you said, these things aren't just gifts that you and I have been given. These things are skills that anyone can acquire. And
exactly.
It's just a matter of learning how to interpret the messages as they're coming to you. We're all receiving messages from our angels all the time. It's just a matter of being aware enough to notice them and then be able to interpret them.
Yeah, and you know, our society today, people are so busy and they're doing so many things at one time that they don't always hear the message. They're too busy. They just don't even realize that it's there. It's part of the clutter of all the noise around you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. And we have to get quiet enough and listen. For me, it's going out in nature. That's when I can connect the best, because I'm away from the phones, I'm away from the office, the texts, the emails, and all the things that we're bombarded with. And then that's when I tune in. And I ask, I have a conversation, if you will, with my high self, with God, with the angels, and say, you know, guide me, direct me. And
it's somewhat the same way for me. My best way of connecting, I guess I would call it, is I love to go to the beach at night, like late at night, 11, 12 mm-hmm. o'clock at night, and just go with a little flashlight and go walk on the beach and pick up seashells. Mm-hmm. I'm usually the only person on the beach. My husband's there with me, but other than us, there is no one else out on the beach at midnight ever. I know that the beach is just completely there, the sound of the waves, and just doing that for an hour or so, even if it's just a couple nights a week, what a difference it makes in my life when I'm doing it versus when I'm not doing it. When I'm not doing it, it's usually during that time that I'm not sleeping very well, I'm not feeling very good, I don't necessarily always manifest the things that I want in my life, and the nights that I'm going to the beach and doing it a couple times a week, it is so much easier to sleep, it is so much easier to actually manifest what I want. It really can make such a huge difference because you're really able to listen when there isn't anything else going on around you.
Absolutely. And we get out of our heads and into our hearts more.
Yes.
I don't think people quite give their hearts credit enough for the amount of wisdom that they hold. Someone told me.
And if you've never experienced it before and you really aren't used to it, it can really make you wonder, am I just making this up?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, for someone who's never done this before, what do you suggest that they start with? How can they start listening?
You know, what I usually recommend is that they ask for help with little stuff. Because the key is to build up a neural network in your brain that you accept that this is true. And to do that, you've got to have success with it. So instead of asking God to show you what your life purpose is, you might ask for a parking spot. And I know that sounds so inane, but if you ask for a parking spot that's close to the mall or close to the event that you're going to and you get it, well, then you're going to be more inclined to ask for something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask what you start with the big stuff, like your life purpose or whatever, you know, something huge like that, it may take a little bit longer for the answer to appear, and then you may go, well, I'm frustrated. This just didn't happen, and it, obviously it doesn't work. So I tell people, start with small stuff. And then as you're building that neural network in your mind, as you're getting the success and the results, it will become second nature.
Great suggestion. It's a standing kind of funny thing that my husband and I do in our lives. When we're out looking for a parking spot and there's just no parking spots around, he will routinely today look at me and say, okay, do whatever that thing is that you do. And sure enough, the first parking spot next to the door opens up almost instantly.
I know. It's magic, isn't it?
It really is. But it works every time. It never doesn't work. It works every single time. My husband still doesn't totally believe it, but he certainly knows that I believe it. And he certainly has seen enough examples that he really knows to listen when he tells me to do it, because it really works every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the key is we have to ask, because while we are surrounded by this amazing angelic realm, they can't help unless we ask. We have free will. And they can't go against our free will, so we have to ask for the help that we want, that we need. That's there for us.
Yes.
I always tell people,
you know, for some of our listeners, it might sound like what we're talking about is a bunch of woo-woo, but, you know, really, truly, it is based in science 100%. And until you've experienced it, you might think of it as woo-woo, but try it before you say, that sounds a little strange, because it really does work every single time.
It does. It really does. And if you look at what the quantum physicists are telling us, that everything is energy, and like energy attracts like energy, that means that our thoughts are energy, our emotions
mm-hmm.
are energy. So whatever we're transmitting is what we're going to attract.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like
what I call Metaphysics 101, right? Metaphysics 101. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
And so try it. It is scientifically based. And if you look at the scientific world and the spiritual world today, every scientist is saying that it is all spiritual. And the
exactly.
spiritual teachers are saying, and it's all scientifically based. So we're in a marvelous time in history where people are really starting to understand that you can't just compartmentalize things, that it is all interconnected. And it's in learning how to make all that work.
Can you only imagine, say, 30 or 40 years from now, with all that we're learning today, how different life could be for people? They could actually
yeah.
know what their purpose is before they actually go out to get their first job or career.
Yes, absolutely. And they say that we know before we're 5 years old what we're here for.
Wow.
If actually put somebody through guided visualization and take them back to the time they were five, there will always be clues as to what they came here to do.
That's amazing. So what happens to people by the time they grow up that causes them to forget?
Well, you know, society tells them what they're supposed to do and gives them all the shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's just a mini example. When I was put through that process and regressed back to the age of 5 or younger, I saw myself sitting on a bar stool at my grandpa's tavern listening to people's problems. Hello? What do I do?
Wow.
I help people with their problems, right? But in the interim, in the ensuing years, when I told my parents that I wanted to get a degree in psychology and become a therapist, I came from a very traditional blue-collar family, and they said, are you kidding me? You're going to get married and have babies. Why do you want to go waste all that money on college?
Oh, too funny, right?
Yeah, right? So why
mm-hmm.
do we forget that's why it gets talked out of us?
Yep.
So, and it's, you know, there's a relationship that we have with our parents that, you know, kind of supersedes the wisdom that we came in with at that time. So that's what happened in my world.
And even teachers and other people in your life as you grow up, they all tend to cause you to develop these beliefs that may not necessarily serve you very well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that way is why I want to get this art out to the world, because it can help strengthen people's beliefs. It can help bring wisdom into their lives that they may not be getting from the people around them.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about how someone goes about figuring out what their purpose is once they've gone through life and kind of lost what they knew originally. What's the first step, other than asking, of figuring that out?
I would recommend that they work with someone, that they you know, ask the question and then go get some support. Hire a coach. I mean, I don't say that because I'm a coach. I say that because I know coaching works. And I always tell people that there are tens of thousands of coaches out there. Find someone that you feel comfortable being vulnerable with, because you need to go to that vulnerable place inside of you to find the answers. So you need to do it with someone you feel safe with. And
I know,
of course,
back when I was sick, one of the things that used to bug me was I knew I didn't have enough money to be able to go out and hire a coach, or at least so I thought. I thought I needed all of my money to be going towards my medication. So spending money on a coach, it seemed like it was going to kill me faster.
Mm-hmm.
And in actuality, what I've learned today is so cool. While I could have done it on my own, it would have taken me decades to do it.
Right.
Working with a coach, I get there almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Which one actually costs you more, the decades that it would take you to do it on your own, or the amount that you spend with a coach? It's actually a pittance compared to what it will cost you to not get the results for such a long time trying to figure it out on your own.
That truer words have never been spoken. In fact, what I learned personally, of course, to become a coach, you have to be coached. And I got more out of 6 months of coaching than 10 years of therapy.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
Yep.
And I don't even want to think about what that 10 years of therapy cost. So, and, you know, and what I would say to your listeners, and this isn't because I do these portraits, it's because this is truth as well, that these portraits can short-circuit the whole process even more, because we're bringing in divine wisdom at the onset. And I'll put my money where my mouth is and offer all of your listeners $100 off on an angelic message portrait if they call in within 24 hours of this show.
Oh, that's an awesome gift. Thank you, Lori.
You're most welcome. I mean, I just want people to experience it, to really experience the magic that can happen And the wisdom that comes through in these sessions is breathtaking. It's mind-boggling.
Really
and
is.
If anyone out there, speaking of relationships, if anyone out there wants to get behind a good cause, we're looking to create more relationships in, you know, having some partners in getting this message out to the world. So, as we know, it's all about relationships, Gina, isn't it?
It really is. And how can my readers help you with that? My listeners.
Well, we're looking for investment partners. We're looking for marketing partners. We're looking for anyone who wants to collaborate in getting this art out to the world in a bigger and broader way. So if they know of charities that have a cause that we could help support, we're all over that. If they know of galleries that they feel this art would be a great fit for, I'd love to talk to them. If they know of speakers who are giving talks on higher consciousness subjects, we'd be thrilled to be part of a joint venture with them. We're open to the world of endless possibilities.
Oh, that's awesome. I've definitely got to get you connected with my co-founders, Rick Beneteau and Julian Kalmar from 10 Million Clicks for Peace.
Mm.
There's certainly a group that, you know, the possibilities are endless of what we could do working together.
That sounds fabulous.
I'll make sure I make that happen this week.
Wonderful. I have heard of them. The name sounded familiar, and then when you said 10 Million Clicks for Peace, I'm like, I've heard of this.
Yeah,
of course,
yep.
I have, right?
Exactly, right? AskGGG.com/peace is the website for 10 Million Clicks for Peace. But, you know, our mission for 10 Million Clicks for Peace is pretty simple. We believe two things. Number one, that the answer to peace in every way in this world really lies with our children. And so we really are wanting to do things to help our children understand what they'd need to do to help cause peace. We also know that the answer to peace in this world really exists right now. It's just spread out among so many different organizations and so many different people. So we also want to help unite the world's 8,000 peace and change organizations, because if we could all work together, we'd make such a much bigger impact faster. So it's really all about those two things for us with 10 Million Clicks for Peace.
Oh,
and I'm sure that we could do a lot of things to help spread the art and the message of the angels with you.
Absolutely. And I'd be thrilled. We have an inner peace angel. We have a world peace angel. We have the childhood protection angel when you talk about the children. We have an indigo crystal angel that helps the young children, especially the ones with ADD and ADHD, to feel more safe in the world. Oh, I am so excited about working with you on this. This sounds fabulous.
Yeah, there's so many different ways that we could work that. And Rick and Julian are just awesome guys anyway, so I will definitely get you introduced to them this week.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Again, for our listeners, it's wisdomoftheangels.com. There are so many different ways to connect with Lori through wisdomoftheangels.com. You can sign up for her newsletter. You can check out the angel portrait. Lori even has her phone number on the site. So please connect with Lori and see what you can do to get these angels to help you in experiencing joy for your life, too. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, I would say this. What I have gotten from my experience in working with the angels and working with this art, it gave me hope. And someone summed it up best when they were talking about my work, and they said, Lori, in everything you do, you bring people hope. And so for your listeners out there who need that, I'm here for you, and I'll help you in any way I can.
Thank you so much, Lori. It's been my pleasure to have you on Relationship Marketing 101 today. Thanks again, and watch for my email to connect you to Rick and Julian.
Fabulous. Thank you, Gina. I'm honored to have been your guest today.
Thank you. And we will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern with another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.